Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Luke chapter 17, verse 11. You there? You there? Let me hear you say yeah. It's on page 854. We've heard this story before. I'm going to go through it quickly. I have basically one point, so it shouldn't take me that long. But, you know, me being a preacher. I want to bless you preachers. Be a preacher. Preach in the shower. Preach to your coworkers. Just preach. Just preach. Just preach to people. When I first started preaching, they used to give you like a tape at the end or a CD, and because there wasn't a lot of stuff on the internet then. And I would preach, and my wife and I would get in the car, and I'd play it again because I wanted to hear it. And I remember we went somewhere, and I think we were in Georgia, and it was like I preached so long it took two tapes. And I went to put it in. She said, please don't make me hear that again. That's not what I wanted to hear. She didn't mean I didn't like your message. She meant like, look, it's been a long weekend. I really don't want to hear more preaching. But I preach. I'll preach and preach and preach. Amen? You're like, I don't have a message. Preach your little preacher testimony. Got to give you more. Verse 11, you ready? While Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Now, you know, Samaritans were a half Jew, half not Jew, right? So they were considered unclean. Verse 12, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. Now, leprous people weren't allowed in the village. They had to stand outside the village. Not nice. Talk about having inner healing issues, right? Verse 13, and they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Verse 15, now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, was there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? 18, was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now again, the Samaritans aren't even allowed to be in worship. He says, was there no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go, your faith has made you well. Verse 20, a lot of people stop reading there. Verse 20, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Can you say amen to the reading of the word? Now listen, I'm going to, it's really my heart to equip you in the gospel, to equip you to minister the gospel. It's my heart to equip you to bring revival to your areas of influence. I'm not here to gather an audience. It's my great heart's desire to see this gospel, what they're talking about on the stage, to see the gospel of Jesus Christ permeate lives, change people, so people, healed people can heal people. And I want to see people be able to not only get life change for themselves, I want to see them get life change for the world, but I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't get your life change, I'm more interested that you bring life change to the world. If you're waiting for your life change to bring change, you may never get it. If you have conditions for God to use you, he'll just never use you. He just is not up to meeting our conditions. He said very clearly, I'll give you a sign. It's the sign of Jonah. It's the only sign you get. 3 days in the belly of the beast, and then I'll come back alive. There's your sign. Do what I tell you after that. Amen. That's a good word, Pastor. Amen. So if you're waiting for, I'll go do that. If you do that, he's like, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll be raised from the dead, and then you'll just serve me. Well, if you do this, then I'll raise from the dead. Oh. If you give me a sign, Jesus, then I'll step out and witness. Raised from the dead. There's your sign. You with me here? Okay, I want to dig in. I want to unpack this story just a little bit, all right? So there's 10 lepers who are crying out to Jesus, all right? They're at the edge of the city. And let's look. It says in verse 13, they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Why? Well, in those days, the priests were the ones who determined whether or not you had leprosy. It was up to the priests to inspect the offering. It was up to the priests to determine who had to be outside the camp, who they judged sin. That was the priest's job. And so Jesus always, and hear this for your life, this has not changed. Jesus will always confirm something with someone else. When I meet with people and they say, well, God told me to do this. I was like, okay, who outside of your little circle of friends has confirmed that? Well, just me and people who really want that for me. Well, I don't take that as reliable confirmation. You shouldn't either. So here's the priests who it's in their best interest to make sure that you're not going to bring shame. And he said, go to them and make sure, let them verify your healing. Side note again, if you're physically healed, the doctor will confirm it. Don't be dumb and avoid the doctor because you've been healed. Let me give you an obvious example. If my leg has been broken, the bone is broken, and you pray for me, and we all hear the bone pop together, and they say, well, I'm going to go to the doctor to get that checked. Well, brother, don't you have faith? Absolutely. And no matter who looks at my leg bone, if it's healed, you'll see it. I mean, sometimes there's, I hate to say this, sometimes there's partial healings. I've seen people who got healed, but the Lord clearly said, you have to go get rehab. And they didn't get rehab, and they never got fully healed. We need to obey God and not get super goofy weird. God wants people better. I believe in physical healing. I believe in doctors. I believe that God has created our body to heal itself, which is just amazing. And I don't take away from God when that happens. You know, I'm thankful that when we cut our finger, it's not just cut forever. And one day, I mean, skin will grow over it and work perfectly. That's just amazing to me. I know it's natural, it's science, I understand you can call it evolution, whatever you want to call it. I just believe God is amazing. I don't fully understand it, but God is amazing in it. And when the doctor, someone has figured out how my body works, and they say, listen, here, you got this infection, I can kill it. The infection, by you taking this, and it won't kill the stuff you need to keep living, that's amazing. Because God has created my body to heal itself. Medicine just works with your body's natural properties. That's what medicine does. It works with your body's natural properties. Surgery just takes out stuff that shouldn't be there. That's you know, you have an invasion where it's going to take it out, you know? Deliverance, physical deliverance. I like spiritual. I'll take either one. I prefer the free one, but, you know, I'll take either one. All right? I'll take either one. I just want to be better. You know, I encourage you to pray over things before you go to the doctor. Now, you know, if someone's got a heart attack, let's not have a prayer meeting. Let's call 911. Right? Let's not be stupid. But if you got headaches, you know, before you pop something, how about, you know, hey, can you pray for me? You know, I got stomach problems. Can you pray for me? Let's just, you know, give God room to work here, you know. Well, God, I'm taking this aspirin, so you got about 40 minutes to heal me, you know. He's like, nah, you got it, whatever. Okay, so we see here, Jesus tells him to go and get yourself approved. Now, here's the interesting part. He gave them very clear instructions. He didn't say, now you're cleansed. Go and show yourself to the priest. Now watch this. And as they were going, they were cleansed. They didn't get cleansed until they started obeying Jesus. A lot of people get conditional words. As you do this, that will happen. And they never do that, and they never get it. And sometimes the Lord will tell you, start behaving this way, and you'll watch yourself be transformed into that person. And they wait until they feel the transformation before they start doing stuff, and nothing ever happens. Met with Steve Long recently, and I said, listen, God has spoken this to me, and he told me to do that, and I don't have any open doors to do this thing, and I feel really convicted that I'm not doing it. What do I do? He said, I think you should start doing it. Okay. He's like, you know, and he didn't even explain it. But he was basically saying, you know, you say you're supposed to do something, God told you to do it. I was like, well, What if there's no opportunity to do it? He says, maybe you could pay somebody to give you opportunity. Didn't think about that one. Didn't think about that one. What is he saying? Well, God told you to do it. What are you waiting for? Who's in charge? What are you waiting for? God told you to do it. It's been confirmed? Yeah. Very clearly by people I really trust. Okay, well, go do it. Well, how do I do it? Okay. And so Jesus said, as you go, you know, go to the priest and you'll be, now watch this. Go show yourselves to the priest, and as they were going, say, as they were going. As they were going, they were cleansed. Now, that word cleanse there, I'm going to butcher it. You ready? In the Greek, you ready? Katharizo. Ready? Something like that. Katharizo. You might think I'm fluent in Greek the way I said that. I'm not, actually. I read that in a book. Katharizo. And it literally means cleansed. It means to be cleaned or to be washed of something. Now, we know leprosy is a skin disorder. And they considered it unclean. And so you had to stay outside the camp because other people can catch it. And so it says, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, there was this guy who was not a full Jew. He comes back. He's a Samaritan. And it says, as we read the scripture here in verse 15, y'all following along? This is good stuff. I promise you this is good stuff here. Verse 15 says, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back and glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now that's a different word than cleansed. The word for cleanse was katharizo. The word here for well is sozo. Now sozo means saved, healed, delivered. Saved, healed, delivered. Now 10 received their little whatever, their little cleansing, and went off and lived a happy life without leprosy. One of them got what Jesus gave them and brought it back as an offering. We learned this last week about the word, about taking this word that we store up in us to Jesus and allowing him to do something with it. Brought it back to Jesus as an offering. Jesus called that faith. And with that faith, he said, oh, because you operated in faith, I pronounce you saved, healed, and delivered. Then Jesus does a little story that sounds like it has nothing to do with anything. He just starts talking. Jesus, none of this stuff is random. None of this stuff is random. Keep reading. When you feel like you got to the end of the story, keep reading. All this stuff is in an order for a reason. So now here's a leper that Jesus declares is saved. Half hour earlier, now hear this. Half hour earlier, he's not allowed to come in the city, let alone the temple. You remember what they were really mad at Jesus about? That he was pronouncing the forgiveness of sins. Now here's a guy people weren't even allowed to talk to. And Jesus said, he's saved. The guy went from not allowed to come in the city to saved. And people were like, first they were freaking out over 10 lepers being healed. You got to believe that 10 guys getting healed of leprosy in front of you. I see headaches get healed, I'm getting pretty excited. And I've seen some pretty amazing testimonies. I've seen some amazing miracles in every single one of them. Every time I see and hear one, it blows my mind. I give an accurate word of knowledge, and I'm like, can you believe that, honey? And she's like, yeah, of course I believe that. You do that all the time. I'm like, I can't believe that just happened. That's crazy. I gave a word to somebody recently, and I went up to him. I'm like, and it was a really, really, really specific word. I mean, like, not one of those, you know, I feel like, you know, you had a childhood, and part of it wasn't great, and some of it you didn't like, and God wants to bless you. Does that make sense to you? You know, like, no, not like that. Like, this is what you, this tiny micro industry, you're a part of that, and then you do this, and this has happened, and God's doing this, and he's saying, here's why that happened. And I was like, does that make sense? And he's just on the ground crying. I was like, that probably made sense. And he comes to me later and he's like, you know, I'm from another country. And I asked that an American minister would come and confirm the encounter I had with Jesus. And you spoke everything that's been happening. And then you gave me the reason why at the end. I was like, really? I was like, really? That's amazing. I'm just like, can you believe that? That's just amazing. That's incredible. That's awesome. Now, props over me. I don't understand what's happening in my life. Just enter into that anointing, if you would, please, because I could use some of it. So I'm always amazed when God does stuff. I don't know why. I really am. But let's keep reading the story. So now they're all in awe. Like, I gave a little word of knowledge. Imagine the words that Jesus gave to people that isn't recorded. Remember? I mean, like, the one dude, he says, hey, I saw you in a tree. And the guy's like, whoa, I'm shocked. You know, I was like, what? In a tree? You're shocked about that? Just wait. Just wait. Just wait in Jerusalem, and then you're going to see some stuff. All right, verse 20. You ready? Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. He didn't say it's not coming with signs. Not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. So Jesus says, he links these two things together. I need you to see this. I need you to see your role on the earth. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to do some stuff. And when I do some stuff, I need you to bring it back to me as an offering. And if you'll glorify me as the God of the miracle, then it will redeem your value. It's going to redeem your call. It's going to redeem your purpose. It's going to multiply. And this is what the kingdom of God will look like. People operating in their divine purpose with divine healing and divine prosperity. No one's going to look and say, oh, look, over in Kansas City is the kingdom. Oh, look, over in Reading is the kingdom. Oh, look, London is where the king. Oh, the kingdom is. No, he said, no, the kingdom is here. When is the kingdom coming? Jesus is like, the kingdom is here. I don't know if you heard of this dude named John, my cousin. I sent him. Remember, you killed him. Yeah, he told you the kingdom is, get ready because it's coming at hand. Now listen, there's people in this room, and you're praying, God, when will things get easier? Things are very rough right now. It's hard. Well, there's two kind of calls. I just want to talk about one of them. One is this forerunner, trailblazer anointing, and when you're the first one to go through the forest, you get beat up more than other people. And you're like, I just want to be one of those people who gets to have a nice farm on flat land with no rocks in the ground. Nice and soft, easy to... And Jesus is like, yeah, I bet John wanted that. And they cut his head off. I'm processing some things, and I don't like to preach on things I've not gotten fully processed, but it's so heavy in my heart, I just want to share it with you. Jesus said that we would complete his sufferings, so we would perfect his sufferings. When Paul was called, the prophetic word over him was, I need you to go to Paul and let him know everything he must suffer for my namesake. Sufferings are part of the Christian life. Now, I love the prosperity gospel that, all I have to do is put some money in a basket, and then I become a gajillionaire, and I never have to work out a budget, and I'm going to own people and stuff. I don't know. I don't even know what the prosperity people are teaching these days, but, I'm never going to have to work, and I don't have to repent of my slothfulness, and I don't have to work hard at a job, and I'm just going to have a mansion and people to serve me. It's just, if you work that out, let me know. I'll enter in. I just don't see it. I read the New Testament. I just don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it. I believe God is a prosperous God. I believe exceedingly abundant beyond all you could ask or think. I believe, pressed down, shaken together, shall people pour into your bosom. I get that, and I believe in it. And I believe God wants to prosper the business of the people in this house. At the same point, I believe that there's suffering in the gospel. And I believe that people who have a greater inheritance, it takes a little bit more suffering. And I believe that God tests the hearts of people who are called to greatness. I just believe it. I believe that Paul tells people, don't lay hands suddenly. People get prideful. Make sure you know what they're made of. And Jesus tests your heart to see what you're made of. What are you going to do? You know, and so we get this amazing salvation, and I got an amazing salvation. My conversion is as great as anybody's I've heard about. I just, not, you know, better or worse. I'm just saying I had a radical transformation in my life, and I owe God a lot. I was on the way to hell. I wasn't living a double-minded Christian life. I was living a wicked life, and I deserved hell. And he saved me radically, and he called me to do just amazing things for him. And I would like to enter into that without any work. I really would. I'd like to just him tell me that and then put a crown on my head and put a robe on my back and give me maybe a throne and then just servants come and give me my call. I would love that. I don't know about you. I would love that. Anybody here want to be that servant? Because somebody's going to have to be the servant if that's the call, right? And so as it turns out, Jesus is the one with the crown and the robe and the throne. And servants come and bring him what his call is. And that's what we signed up for. That's pretty good right there. I just got that one. That's good stuff. And so we live lives serving Jesus. That's our call. We serve him. And so he tests our heart and he tests our motives because he doesn't want to give us something that's going to destroy us. And he really wants his world transformed by us. He wants us to be these workers of miracles telling people, kingdom of God is at hand. See, the kingdom's not coming with signs to be observed. Oh, look, it's a miracle. The kingdom must be over there. No. It's coming with signs. But it's coming with signs to prove the kingdom is here. It's in your midst. The touch of God that you've received. Oh, I'm turning into a liar here. I'm going to be done quickly. The kingdom of God that you have received, the touch of God that you have received, That's your invitation to draw you deeper into God's presence. I was reading in my journal, and Jesus spoke to me about this like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I don't know, about this many pages ago in my journal, whatever that is. And wherever God touched you, this is my language. That's your amazing. That's the amazing in you. And the amazing in you, that's your key to your prosperity. Those of you who are fighting for prosperity, you need to hear this. This is your key right here. I'm trying to tell you, this is your key. This is your key. You need to hear this. God touches you and gives you your amazing. You use that amazing in God's service. That's your invitation to deeper. Whatever he's called you to do, that is your invitation to amazing. And if you will use that in service to God, that is your avenue to prosperity. You're like, well, I'm not getting paid for this. Oh, no. Because the whole purpose of this is to sow seed. Does this make sense, or I need to break it down a little bit more? If God gave you an amazing testimony, if he just gave you just an amazing salvation testimony, when you share that, you're like, well, I'm not making money off my testimony. No. The point of you sharing that and sowing that and flowing in that amazing that he gave you is to sow seeds for every other area of your life. Well, I'll do that when I get prosperity. Well, you know, then just give up. God gives you like a little song. You better sing that song. If he gives you healing of leprosy, you better bring that thing and make it give glory to God. See, he got healed of leprosy. What did he do with it? What did he do with it? He took it back to Jesus and gave him praise. And in that, he received, you see, he got a harvest, salvation, healing, and deliverance. Everybody else just got cleansed of leprosy. That's all they got was cleansed of leprosy. Who knows if they needed new fingers? Because what happens with leprosy? All they were was cleansed of the sickness. These other ones got wholeness. He got wholeness. That's your avenue. So I'm going to read one more long passage of Scripture. And you're going to love me for it. You're going to love me. Was that an inappropriate reference? I hope that wasn't a bad part of the movie. I hope that movie wasn't rated R, or I just uncovered myself. Luke 19. You know what I tell people? They're like, wasn't that rated R? I was like, that was BC. Didn't it come out last year? I saw early, that was a remake last year. I saw the French version with subtitles before I got saved. I was watching it prophetically. I had my spirit guard up. I saw it last year, but my spirit, it was prophetically, I was looking. I believe the Lord, it was a prophetic sign for the fallen generation. Prophetically, I see what the Lord is speaking. 1911. Oh, Jesus. You ready? Luke 19:11. You with me? If I lost anybody, is anybody bored? I hope not. 19:11. While they were listening to these things, this is when Zacchaeus, he said, oh, you're in a tree. Zacchaeus was like, oh, you're amazing. Oh, you're in a tree. Everybody saw it. Jesus went on to tell a parable, Mike. He told a parable. Because, why did he tell a parable? Because he was near Jerusalem, and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. So he said, a noble man went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 little things and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him. And let me just help you out here. This is Jesus talking about his father sent him to the earth, and the Jews hated him. I mean, you know, he sent prophets, and let's just make it easy here, right? Jesus is talking all in veiled references to people without the Holy Ghost. We're viewing this with the Holy Ghost, so we just know what he's talking about. Like, you're not hiding this very well, Jesus. But his citizens hated him, verse 14, and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he sent somebody to receive the kingdom. They didn't want him to receive it, but it was irrelevant what they wanted, right? You see that, right? When he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they'd done. The first appeared, saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave. Because you have been faithful in very little things, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, your mina master has made 5 minas. And he said to him also, and you are to be over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, by your own words I judge you. You are a worthless slave. That's like well done, good and faithful, but different. Very different. Did you know that I am an exacting man taking up what I did not lay down? Because he just said, I do these things, you know. And he said, you do these things. And he said, yeah, didn't you know I do these things? Did you not know that I'm an exacting man taking what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him. Give it to the one who has 10. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. Can I give you a side note? I'm going to get political for you on a second here, right? Don't hate me. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, right? I believe in Jesus. I believe if Jesus came back, he'd destroy both parties. That's my personal feeling. And I think Ron Paul's wacky. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't follow a man. I follow Jesus. There's kind of a divide in this country over welfare. And people say, well, Jesus said to give to the poor. And the Republicans say, yeah, he didn't say give it to the government and let the government give it to the poor. Right? In this parable, Jesus took the little bit the poor man had and gave it to the rich. So you have a hard time saying that Jesus wants us all to give our money to the government so the government give it to the poor. Just putting that out there. Now, you know who's supposed to give to the poor? We are. And if we did that, the government wouldn't have to. The government stepped in because the church has failed. Selah. Verse 26, I tell you that to everyone who has, Why is the government defining marriage? Because we haven't. Why is the government in the marriage business? I tell you that to everyone who has more, they can call it whatever they want. They can call it whatever they want. They can marry monkeys with koalas. I don't care. We're not using the same words. It's like the Mormons. Y'all using words. Call them saved. I don't care what you call it. You ain't washing the blood. Call it whatever you want. If you're Mormon, bless you. Be free. Come on. Jehovah's Witnesses call Jesus whatever they want. They can name an octopus Jesus and say he's prophesying. I don't care. Do what you want. Y'all going to hell? I mean, Jesus is Jesus. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Take that off the video. Selah. I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given, but from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken. But these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here. Watch, sweet loving Jesus carrying the lamb. You ready? Bring them to me and kill them in my presence. Don't even do it out back. I want to watch it. Now, why are you telling us this story, Pastor? I don't feel encouraged. Because you're not going to be slain because you don't believe Jesus is an octopus, okay? And you don't believe monkeys marry koalas. No. I want you to see this. Jesus comes to an area of people and they don't even worship him or want him to rule over them. Was that you at any point in your life? You did not want Jesus to rule over you and you did not want to serve him. Is that anybody in the room other than me? We have people with their hands up and we have liars. That's what we have. And it says Jesus came to people who did not want him ruling over them, and yet he still gave them gifts. He says, now I'm expecting you to do good things with these gifts. And of the three, two of them did good things with the gifts. I want you to see this. What do you do with what Jesus gives you? Let's go back to verse 16. The first appeared saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. Right? He gave him 10. He was a good, diligent worker with his gifts. Doubled his gifts. Jesus came back to get an account of them. And he said to him, well done. Well done, slave. People want Jesus to pat them on the head for what they did. Look, God, I told somebody about what you did and they got saved. Aren't I awesome? He's like, well done, slave. I don't know what I'm doing here today. He says, well done, good slave, because you've been faithful in very little things. You are now to be an authority over 10 cities. What if God gave you $1,000 bills and you multiplied them for him? What if God gave you 10 disciples and he visits you, he comes into your house, touches you in an anointing, you get 10 disciples. Maybe you got a life group of 10 people. Maybe you got 10 people at your work that you do Bible study with. And he comes back in the next vision. He's like, what'd you do with the 10 disciples I brought you? And you say, I was faithful. And now I have 20. He says, awesome. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you in charge of Boca Raton, Delray Beach, Deerfield Beach, Pompano, Coral Springs, Lake Worth, West Palm, Boynton, Hypoluxo, Lake Park. I'm just going to put you in charge of 10 cities now. You'll just be the mayor of 10 cities. Your provision for the season is in what Jesus has already given you. What are you doing with what Jesus gave you? Are you being faithful in it? Do you need a pat on the head? Jesus said, good. Oh, I see how hard you're working. That's so awesome. Good job, slave. If you do, good job. I'm here to let you know. Thank you. I appreciate your service to the Lord. I hope that your reward comes from Jesus, though. I'm in a season of Jesus really testing hearts. I see it. 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 And when things get dry and crusty in your walk, what are you going to do? Do you give up? Do you let discouragement? Do you let Do you let the enemy come and steal your seed with discouragement because it's on shallow ground and it sprang up quickly or got spread on the wayside and the birds come and steal it? Is that what you do? Or do you keep grinding on that thing Jesus gave you? I'm here to let you know your provision is in that seed. It's in that miracle. It's in that encounter. It's in that touch. It's why we have such a high value on laying on of hands. It's why we have such a high value of impartation. It's why we have such a high value of the testimony. It's why we come up here and we have people talk. Because in those testimonies, those three people have, that's their provision for the next season. Now, you can forget what Jesus did and just, that's all right. I mean, I want you to look at it like that's your spiritual ATM card. Okay, your meditation on this and what you do with it is your spiritual ATM card. What are you going to do with it? Oh, I forgot where I put that card. I wonder why my next season isn't prosperous. Are you with me on this thing? God's looking for faithfulness. And he wants to reward people who will not allow fear to choke out what he does in their life. Are you with me? Not allow fear to choke out what God... I mean, Lydia said it perfectly. I feel raw. You been there? Have you been there? I want to invite you into an encounter, if not. But I've been there, raw. Raw, like I've been stripped naked by Jesus. You feel like everybody can see it, you know? Like just raw. Man, God likes it there. Because it takes faith to continue living. You want to run and hide. Look, everybody found out that thing. Or it's finally been uncovered. You want to go run and hide. Like, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to press on. Can I get the band to come? Actually, just Mike, you just play a little bit. I'm going to pray, and then we'll go on. That's all I got right there. Amen? Yeah, don't be too excited. That was my message, but you know. I got a woo from Corey, though, so that's good enough. Hit the light for me. I just want to pray for you real quick, and I'll let you go home. Mighty God, I pray in the name of Jesus for the people under the sound of my voice right now that they would just hunger for you. They would just hunger for you. They would hunger for God. Not hunger for prosperity, not hunger for ministries, not hunger for houses or wealth or fame, but they would hunger for you, Jesus. That you would be our portion, Lord. Father, I pray that you would draw people to the secret place in the next weeks and months, that you would draw people to the place of prayer, to the place of worship. Father, I pray the people in this house would share their testimony, and they would invite people, and they would witness, and they would draw in the lost. Father, in this season, that you would polish the hearts of the people in this house. That you would remind them of the testimony. And remind them of your provision for them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. We love you. Yeah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. You're so very good. We love you. We love you. We love you.